You're listening to the VTide podcast, brought to you from the recent Preparing for the Research Excellence Framework VTide event.
Thank you for tuning in to the 2012 VTide Preparing for the Ref podcast, a one-day event held on the 11th of July, exploring how staff supporting research and development can best support their institution in returning on the environment criteria in the upcoming Research Excellence Framework Assessment and in developing impactful research leaders of the future. The workshops will provide an overview of the REF, good institutional examples of research environments with vitality and sustainability, VTI's approach to the REF, and the opportunities to input into future VTide developments, share and improve practice, and to network with peers across the UK. This podcast aims to executively summarise the key points from the range of plenary speakers and workshop leaders on the day. This will be supported with some useful hints and tips for you to think about whilst your institution prepares for the REF. Part one of the podcast will provide an overview of the event's plenary speakers, offering a diverse array of perspectives. These include Dr. Vicky Jones, REF Deputy Manager from the Higher Education Funding Council for England, providing an overview of the Research Excellence Framework. Alison Mitchell, Deputy Director of VTI, offering the perspectives of VTI developments. Dr. Simon Kerridge, Director of Research Services at the University of Kent, offering his institutional perspective. And finally, Dr. Christine Nightingale, REF Equalities and Diversity Advisory Panel member and Head of Equality and Diversity at De Montfort University, providing her perspective on equality and diversity and what that means in the REF. Now I'll pass you over to Dr. Vicky Jones, the REF Deputy Manager of HEFCE, where she will give an overview of the Research Excellence Framework, the submission deadlines, and all the supporting information that HEFCE are providing to institutions.
I spoke about the REF in general. I provided a very broad overview, but I focused mainly on the four areas that individual institutions will be required to provide information on when they make their submissions to the REF, and that's about the staff that they choose to submit and the types of information we'll need about them, also covering individual staff circumstances and requests for reduction in outputs and what that entailed, although Christine gave further details about that. I also mentioned outputs and how they would be assessed by the panel, what they would be looking for, and then moved on to discuss both impact and environment, the process for completing the templates for both of those, and for impact, the case studies, which individual institutions will have to be providing to tell us about how the research that's been undertaken at their institution has provided an impact and what the REF panels will be looking for when they're assessing those. And then finally, just I gave some dates for the submissions process itself, things to look out for around multiple submissions and confidential case studies, when we needed to be notified of those and when the submission system would go live.
If there were two to three key take-home messages that you would like to provide to institutions listening to this, what would they be?
I think this one would be quite straightforward. Read the guidance. We have two very comprehensive documents, the Assessment Framework and Guidance on Submissions document and the Panel Criteria and Working Methods documents. They're very detailed. They contain all the information about what institutions will be required to submit. They also contain a lot of detail about how the panels will work, how they will be assessing submissions. So read the guidance, pay attention to what's in there. But of course, you have contacts at your HEI who are designated as REF contacts, who should be able to answer any questions, or also get in contact with the REF team on info@ref, and we'd be more than happy to try and provide any support that you need.
Alison Mitchell, Deputy Director of VTI, will now provide an overview of VTI developments relating to the REF.
The theme of today's agenda is preparing for the Research Excellence Framework, researcher development, the environment and future impact. And I'm very pleased that we have within our audience a cross-section of researchers, researcher developers and REF managers, and indeed senior academics as well. So welcome to everyone. Our agenda today is to take an overview of the REF, to explore institutional examples of different research environments with vitality and sustainability. I'll give us some information about VITAI's approach to the REF, and we'll explore opportunities to input into future VITAI developments and to share and improve our practice across the UK. In terms of VITAI's own vision and aims, the REF matches very closely into our mission in terms of looking at policy, collaboration between institutions, empowerment of the individual, and always evaluating impact. In VITAI, we looked at the REF and, from a researcher-developer's perspective, looked at how we could support the sector in preparing for the REF. The main focus for us is on the research environment for units of assessment, but we also recognise that we have an opportunity to help develop leaders of the future in impact and also in leading researchers as well as research. For units of assessment, we will explore today how the benefits can be accrued in terms of writing case studies from the Concordat, from HR Excellence Awards, from the surveys of researchers called Cross and Pearls, and from the Researcher Development Framework. Finally, I'd just like to highlight the role of principal investigators and research leaders and supervisors in creating that research environment and how that's described in some of the phases around the Researcher Development Framework. In terms of equality and diversity, our theme from our recent project, Every Researcher Counts, suggests that senior managers, principal investigators and supervisors should aspire to be role models when dealing with diversity and difference, educate and advise and guide less experienced researchers, set an example locally, nationally and internationally, and help shape departmental institutional policy and implementation. In terms of influence and leadership, the Researcher Development Framework suggests that PIs and accomplished research managers should be able to generate excitement about ideas, recognise and encourage the contributions of others, and use them to best effect. Offer ideas that encourage people to think differently. Be a role model. Protect less experienced researchers in the academic context, and demonstrate initiative and competence in leading people, formally or informally. And these are qualities that would certainly benefit leaders of units of assessment in developing their responses about the research environment for the REF.
Dr. Simon Kerridge, Director of Research Services at the University of Kent, will now provide his unique institutional perspective.
I talked about why you should bother with the research development at all, outlined the context and perhaps some ideas for the future, and then finished off with some things that you can do now and some tips for the REF. So I covered how much of the REF is concerned with research environment and researcher development, which is quite a small amount, but it's a small amount of a large thing. But really, you shouldn't be focused on the REF at all. What you should be focused on is the research strategy of the institution. As long as you have all the information to hand, then in effect your REF submission will drop out, and any future REF submissions will drop out because you're just reporting on that which you're doing anyway. I mentioned a number of different frameworks for research and development and development of people who work around researchers, like research managers and HR professionals, which you might want to report on. I outlined how much emphasis I thought that you should put on facilities available at the university level, at the faculty level and at department level, with really focusing on what you're doing at the department level, but not forgetting to mention university level things, because the REF panels cannot assume anything, so you have to tell them everything. I picked out from the REF guidance the six areas that all the panels are looking for on staffing strategy and research and development, and I suppose iterate, which I thought the most important parts, which is to give concrete examples of things rather than just outlining the policy. You should also say that, and in particular, for example, we did X and that improved person Y. I gave specific examples of the sort of things that we're doing in Kent that we will be reporting on as what we hope is good practice, and of course world-leading research environment. So having an early career researcher network, including mentoring, appraisal and development courses for team leaders and senior managers, but also talking about equality and diversity training and how that's affected particular members of staff, for example, and also talking about just little minor things like committee representation for researchers. I focused on a number of specific targeted initiatives that we have. So we have a thing called the Grants Workshop, which is a series of events designed to take a researcher from proposal idea to proposal to be submitted and, of course, hopefully funded then. Also sandpits, funder visits, and then also not forgetting areas, for example, like ethics and governance, which of course should be included. But also remembering to tell the panel about all the various funding pots that might be available. So there probably are some university level things. For example, at Kent we have a sabbatical scheme. There are also funds in order to create research centres, but the schools and the faculties also have discretionary funds for conference attendance or for particular initiatives that people might want to undertake, including, for example, impact activities or public engagement activities. The university's got things like PhD scholarships, and there is also specific funding for large and complex grants. So if somebody's going to be the leader in a large European grant, they can do a very short application, half page, or even just an email saying, yes, I need a few thousand pounds to pull the project consortium together in order to write the project proposal. I think I summarised with saying that research and development is important, in fact crucial, for the university and for the HE sector in general. And for the REF, do more things, but say what you've done.
And finally, we'll hear from Dr. Christine Nightingale, REF Equalities and Diversity Advisory Panel member and Head of Equality and Diversity at De Montfort University, where she will be providing an overview of how equality and diversity relates to the context of the REF.
I was here today to talk about the role of the HEFCE REF Equality and Diversity Advisory Panel and what we're doing to support the REF process. So in my talk, I really reiterated the issues about the equality legislation, how that's made a change to the way that we're now submitting to the REF. The equality considerations that the REF process has actually put in place, what we do, and some issues about what it means to have individuals, staff circumstances and complex circumstances. So some of the things that I talked about in terms of the equality considerations for the REF was that we know from the last research assessment exercise that some groups of people were underrepresented in the submissions. So, for example, disabled people may have had less representation, as did people from different race or ethnic backgrounds. And age, women in the 30 to 50 age group were less represented. Startlingly was that women generally were grossly underrepresented in the process, which means that something in the system wasn't quite working. So we were really talking about processes that the HEFCE REF have asked universities to put in place to ensure that they are taking that into account, that they're making sure that people who have been on maternity leave or unwell or early career researchers have an appropriate reduction in their offered an appropriate reduction in their outputs so that they have an opportunity to submit. There are some key messages which are enshrined in the guidance from HEFCE REF, which are about inclusivity and accountability and transparency. And I think that's really important that everybody thinks about their process and holds their process up to a lens and says, does this look fair and will it help include more people? Another thing is think about everybody. Not all people will come forward and say that they could be submitted to the REF, and they may have not come forward because they think that they haven't got enough output. So it's to encourage everybody who may be research active to consider whether they should be submitted. The most important thing, I think, for all universities is that by doing this, it's not just about the REF. It could have huge business and reputational impact on the university because it sends out a clear message to everybody in the community that we include women, we include people from different ethnic backgrounds, we include disabled people, we respect age and include people of different ages. And I think that's such an important message which goes far beyond the REF.
Part two of the podcast will provide a snapshot overview into the range of workshop sessions delivered on the day. These include sessions from Dr. Rob Daly and Dr. Karen Clegg, delivering a session on informing the research environment with the Concordat for Units of Assessment. Dr. Judy Williams and Suzanne Spicer, developing impactful research leaders of the future. Dr. Pooja Thakkar and Dr. Emma Gillespie on exploring the VITAI impact lens a little further. And finally, Dr. Christos Petchakis and Dr. Justin Hutchins on creating a thriving research environment. Dr. Rob Daly will now provide an overview of his workshop session, Informing the Research Environment with the Concordat for Units of Assessment.
So the workshop that Karen Clegg and I were running this afternoon was focusing on using the Concordat as a starting point for considering quality of your REF environment submission. And the idea behind the workshop was that you would start with the Concordat being a reasonably good map or indicator of what you should be doing to create a high quality research environment, and looking at the various sources of evidence and activity that might be going on within the institutions that those people who are completing the unit of assessment environmental submissions could think about using and analysing the data sets and accessing the information to demonstrate the high quality environment for their particular unit of assessment. The key messages that came out of the workshop were, first of all, to ensure you consider that most of the researcher development activity and most of the researcher development reporting that's carried out across the UK is done on either an institutional basis or on a sort of faculty or college school basis, and that those information reports would not easily map onto the different unit of assessments that institutions are going to be submitting under. And therefore it's very important that when you consider your evidence and your data sets and your activities, that you ensure that you gain a unit of assessment picture rather than trying to rely on an institutional or meta level analysis of institutional reports. That said, it was felt that it would be important for, in the early stages of a template submission, environment submission, that you gave the institutional picture, but then you went on and extrapolated that to the unit of assessment picture, using the institutional as a background or a starting point for that narrative. The second point that came up was that it's quite likely that those people who are responsible for managing unit of assessment submissions will at some point in the future be wanting to get access to all this evidence and activity about researcher development, and that researcher developers and their counterparts in research offices or those responsible for the admin side of REF should consider preparing themselves for the conversations they're going to have and doing things like preparing websites or maybe summary documentation that will give that they can hand to people or point people towards to give them an overview of what activity goes on within an institution or a faculty or whatever, as a first point in those conversations, rather than having to deal with each individual and tell them everything from start to finish. It would also be useful for those involved to give some serious consideration to what data sources exist within their institution and to think about how that data might be mined and how the data might be presented to specifically represent the units of assessment that that institution is likely to be submitting under. And that might need some very careful consideration that can be done ahead of time before the need to provide the data in that particular format. And the final issue around the outcomes was that within the workshop we presented a list of evidence that Karen and I had drawn up by knocking our heads together, essentially. And we wanted to ascertain that whether or not that was an appropriate list and was useful. And the outcome was that the participants found it very useful, but also the participants added new information to that list, and so that the list that we have now is improved and better than the one we started with this morning. And finally, the plan is that we will be producing a VITAI briefing document aimed at those people who are completing unit of assessment forms using the workshop that we've run today and the information that we've garnered through that workshop.
Dr. Judy Williams and Suzanne Spicer will now provide an overview of their workshop session, Developing Impactful Research Leaders of the Future.
So we were running a workshop called How to Develop Impactful Research Leaders of the Future. It was a very engaging and well-attended workshop with many outcomes that came about. The first was actually for us as a community, as researcher developers, to understand what's actually needed by researchers around the impact agenda.
What most people realise was that it's probably a journey that researchers are going to have to go on, particularly when they're recording their impact, and it's perhaps a series of small steps. So it's important that as research supporters and developers, we understand what skills are needed by researchers to be able to start this journey and carry on the journey.
With that in mind, what training opportunities could possibly be developed or are available to support the researchers to become more impactful? As a community, could we develop a set of materials or case studies that we could then take off the shelf and deliver within our own institutions to enable researchers to really unpick and identify the key things about impact in regards to both the reach and the significance, and how to actually package that in a whole case study, demonstrating in a nice, clear, precise story what it is that they've done and what they've achieved. So in other words, the so what element of impact.
This also needs to be considered in a larger research strategy of development, so that perhaps one aspect is to look at impact in the broad sense for researchers, and REF is just one element of that. So it's important that we perhaps look at developing a support strategy for researchers in this area, and REF would be one element of that. And as the current REF process is going on, we could look at how can we then source good and bad examples of case studies, and actually using the opportunities of this first stage to help inform these materials and the training programmes that we need to produce for the future beyond REF 2014.
Dr. Emma Gillespie will now provide an overview of their session, Exploring the VTI Impact Lens.
Hi, my name is Emma Gillespie and I'm VTI Northwest Hub Manager, and together with Pooja Thakkar, I ran the Exploring the VTI Impact Lens workshop. So during the workshop, we talked about the impact agenda as a whole. We looked at the RCUK pathways to impact, as well as the REF impact guidance. And we provided a short introduction to the VTI Researcher Development Framework and the lenses that have been developed so far and released by VTI. We asked participants to discuss what skills, behaviours, knowledge, qualities that are needed for researchers to maximise the impact of their research. And then we talked about mapping that against the Researcher Development Framework and which descriptors of the Researcher Development Framework were most important. So key messages from our workshop are, one was around definition. So are we looking at impactful researchers or impactful research? And how that affects the development of the lens, because it will depend which of these we choose as to which knowledge, skills, behaviours, qualities are relevant. There were lots of skills brought up in the discussions involved in making an impact for researchers, but personal qualities came across really strongly, so things like enthusiasm, perseverance, self-confidence, etc. So we'll take that forward into developing the final impact lens. And finally, this is a new lens being developed by VTI, so we're looking for interested partners to help us develop this lens to make it most applicable for researchers in HEIs. So please do contact us if you're interested in getting involved. That's all for me. Thanks.
Alison Mitchell will now provide an overview and closing thoughts from the event.
Today, I hope you'll agree that we have achieved a greater understanding of the REF and also of each other in our different roles within institutions and how we can complement and support our work together. I was in workshops where REF managers met research and developers for the first time and found that there were a lot of common aims and interests in there. And I hope that is something that you can take back to your institutions. In looking at the research environment in particular, it's 15% of a unit of assessment submission, looking for evidence of vitality and sustainability. And clearly in our discussions, we have explored the emphasis that there is embedded in that about career development opportunities for early career researchers, which in this case are defined more as early academic careers, and postgraduate researchers, equality and diversity issues, professional development for researchers, and implementing the Concordat to support the career development of researchers. Certainly, it's important that units of assessment consider making best use of researcher surveys, whether at the international level or perhaps if an institution has actually conducted the surveys, what's happening within the institution. And look towards the institution's achievement of HR Excellence Award, how that can be translated into units of assessment, how the Concordat's been implemented, and of course the newly revised QAA Code of Practice. In summarising, I think, the day, there are many challenges and opportunities. I think one is to find ways to translate institutional strategy and policy into units of assessment practice in a sustainable way. To plan now for future leaders of impact, future leaders of researchers, as well as future leaders of research. And in that, there is a call to the research and development community to be proactive in supporting the institution in its research excellence framework development and prepare themselves for that call to action. And finally, following our analysis and deliberations around the REF and its implications for researcher developers, that we are launching today a new section of our VTI website, Research Excellence Framework, to help and support the work of researcher developers and REF managers within institutions.
Thank you for tuning in to the VTI REF event podcast. For more information about the REF section, please visit www.vti.ac.uk/REF.